From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last week with Governor Kathy Hochul's budget address. The governor unveiled her proposal for how to fund and prioritize state action this year. Now it's up to the legislature. Last week, we welcomed Democrats from the New York State Senate. Today, we welcome Republicans from the Senate, discussing their reaction to the budget proposal and talking about how they would like this budget to look. And there is a lot to talk about this hour. We're going to talk about taxes, pandemic response, education funding, child care. Yeah, we got to talk about a Bills stadium. A lot to talk about. And let me welcome our guest now. Senator Patrick Gallivan from District 59 is with us. Senator, thanks for making time for the program.
Sure thing, Evan. Thanks for having me.
And Senator Edward Rath III is with us from District 61. Senator Rath, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon, Evan. I'm happy to be here.
Are both of you gentlemen Bills fans? Senator Gallivan?
Of course.
I figured you are. Senator Rath?
Yes, actually, we've been season ticket holders since 1960.
Well, see, then let's start with the topic of the moment then, because Governor Hochul, of course, is one of the rare governors from Western New York, knows Buffalo well, and there's, you know, certainly some speculation that a new stadium is going to be a very hot political issue. The governor has indicated some support for not only studying, but state investment or involvement here. And the Pegulas have said that they came out of the gate and said, you know, they want taxpayers of, at various levels to fund this. Could be a $1 billion stadium, could be $2 billion if you put a roof on it. I'm curious to know where both of you stand on state investment. Should state tax dollars be involved here? Is that a requirement? Is that just a cost of keeping the Bills here? And what do you want to see happen? I'll start with Senator Gallivan.
Well, like many, I'm a lifelong Bills fan and, of course, heartbroken about this weekend.
Yes, sir.
But having said that, I don't think we can make our decisions on whether or not taxpayers should help to fund a new stadium based on our hearts and our love for the Bills. I think it should be a cost-benefit analysis. And give you an example, if we just go back to the last negotiation or that last lease that the Bills signed, I think it was approximately 10 years ago, my numbers might be just a little off, but the state's commitment at the time was about $45 to $50 million in capital and then some ongoing costs each year contributing to the operating costs. In return for that, though, the state received over $200 million in various revenues. Most of it came in the form of income taxes from the players, the employees, and the visiting players, sales taxes, et cetera. And I think when you look at that, and that's how my decision was based 10 years ago when I voted in favor of it, the revenues coming back to state taxpayers exceeded the cost. And that's how I think that we should do it this time. And what I know so far in the estimates of the cost of building the stadium and the projections in salaries and revenues coming in, that would be the same case. And so that's what I'll look at ultimately. If and when the governor negotiates a deal with the Bills.
Okay. But it doesn't sound like you think it's inappropriate for either the governor or state legislators to at least be investigating state investment.
No, because I view it as an investment. And if you can get a greater return on your money for taxpayers and all the ancillary things that go with it, the help to the other businesses, the good that it does for the community, I think that's something we should be looking at. Now, that doesn't mean that it's automatic, that we're automatically going to pay for it, or I believe we automatically should pay for it, but it is not dissimilar to what's going on across the country, as we've seen in recent years with stadiums being built in other big league cities.
Yeah, there's no question about that. There's certainly precedent here for taxpayer involvement, and you can understand that. And there's a lot of leverage that owners have. Yesterday on this program, it was sort of a commiserating hour for Bills fans who are feeling like you, Senator Gallivan. They're hurting over the result. And when it comes to where this franchise goes next, I don't think people are worried about the Bills leaving like they might have been five years ago. But there's real split. I mean, there are some Bills season ticket holders who are telling us, hey, the Pegulas can afford this, or ownership as sort of a group of owners can pool their resources and fund new stadiums or renovations when necessary. What do you say to that idea? Is that just not realistic, you think?
I don't think that it is. Okay. I mean, I understand why some people think that, but if we were to say to the Pegulas that you're getting zero tax dollars. It clearly doesn't fit their business model. They've said so much. I mean, they haven't threatened at all, but it doesn't fit the business model of owning a professional sports team when we look at what's taken place across the country. And I think that if we were to say that at the state and county level, state and county government level, on behalf of the taxpayers, the bills would leave. I don't think that that is going to happen. But keep in mind, the asset would still belong to the taxpayers. The asset would not be owned by the Pagulas or the owners. So ultimately, it would be under the control of the taxpayers. And my belief would be that we would see, and again, I don't know the numbers, but the direction that it's going in, my belief that the benefit will exceed the cost. And that then makes it something for us to look at.
Senator Rath, where are you on this?
Well, first of all, I have to share Senator Galvin's perspective about the game against the Chiefs. That was absolutely heartbreaking in every way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess you have to look at it that this will make us stronger as a team. It's going to unify them. And if it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. And the Bills will be back. I really, truly believe that. They're so talented. And just those last 13 seconds, we'll probably never get over those last 13 seconds. A couple of things that I think are very important to point out here. When we did the lease in 2014, I was actually a county legislator at the time. And there was a different model and a different formula that was drawn up at that time where all three parties involved contributed to the lease, the Pagulas, the state, and the county. And that was very encouraging to me at that time. And I believe we're going down a similar path with this new stadium that we're talking about, where the ownership, the state, and the county are all involved in a financial manner. And I think that's very, very important that we follow that same approach that we did in 2014. And another aspect that I think is also important to point out is that New York State has made tremendous investments in other professional sports teams in New York, all of them downstate over the past number of years. For example, the Yankees received $1.2 billion from New York State for their stadium. The Islanders, the hockey team, $700 million, and the Knicks, $600 million. So there is for sure a model that New York State uses for contributing significantly to these stadiums. And I believe we're going to go down that same path again. To Senator Galvin's point, which is a good one, the county will still own the new stadium. We, I think, have a very strong working system right now. And another thing to point out, and the Pagulas have been wonderful, wonderful owners and great partners for our community and investment, not only with the Bills, but with the hockey team and in and around Harbor Center in downtown Buffalo. But they've also invested, I think it's close to $40 million on their own in sort of continuing renovations of the stadium that the Bills play at right now. So all the parties are at the table. I know that. We read about that in the papers. This is moving forward, and I'll be very optimistic that we can find an agreement for a new stadium here coming up sometime soon.
Talking to Senators Ed Rath and Patrick Galivan, as we talk about their priorities for New York State this year, this is in direct response to Governor Hochul's budget release, or her address, I should say, last week. We should mention that leader Rob Ort was also welcome to join us and planned to, but called this morning and had to cancel his appearance just before 10 o'clock this morning. Senator Pam Helming was invited and sent us a note saying that she respectfully declines the interview at this time, but encourages us to reach out to her in the future. So we hope to have Senator Helming in the future. So let me ask, so let's get beyond the stadium issue, because that's certainly, the point is there's still a lot unknown, and we'll see in the future just how much investment New York State makes. But generally speaking, Senator Rath, let me start with you. What was the big headline that you had in your mind coming out of Governor Hochul's budget address last week?
Well, I'll tell you, when she proposed her $216 billion spending plan, the first thing that I said to myself is, this is very expensive, and I'm also concerned that it's not sustainable over the long term. Because over the last 2 years, we have seen a $30 billion increase in the state spending plan. That is a lot of money, and a lot of it has been sort of built off of the federal money that we have received. So can we sustain this kind of a spending plan over the long haul in New York State? My concern is the affordability of our state spending and our state budget for middle-class families. And I'll tell you, we have to bring back accountability and trust in our state government so that we ensure, very importantly, that Western New Yorkers and those that live in the Finger Lakes region get their fair share of state resources. So I'm going to be a strong advocate for reducing taxes, investing in workforce training, and expanding child care in New York State. I truly hope that we can get this spending under control because it has escalated at very, very high levels very, very quickly. And with our tax burden, which is considered the highest tax burden in the nation, this is the reason why we are seeing a massive outflow of residents leaving New York State. To the tune of 1,000 people per day are leaving New York State and their businesses for areas where the taxes are lower, the regulations are less burdensome, and they have a more friendly economic climate. If you can imagine this, the tax burden in New York State overall is 12.79%. which, as I said earlier, is incredibly burdensome. So we have to get this budget under control while also making important investments, critical investments, which we need to do, of course, in our schools and investing in our infrastructure, and also making sure that one-time revenues that we receive are spent on one-time investments, like fixing our crumbling roads and rural broadband. And it's not just rural broadband. There are broadband deserts all across New York State. We need to make sure that we have this high-speed internet connectivity for our kids in school, for our first responders, and for our struggling businesses. If you're a farm and you don't have high-speed internet access, you can't compete when it comes to trying to buy and sell their goods and services. So in general, this budget I thought was there were some good aspects to it, of course, but I believe it's unsustainable and very expensive for the people of New York.
Before I turn to your colleague, Senator Gallivan, let me just follow up on a couple of quick points there. When you talk about internet connectivity, I mean, there's no doubt that the fundamentals of what you're laying out not only are correct, but your colleagues who are Democrats agree on those fundamentals. It's a question of what to do about them. And some of our listeners have pointed out that, you know, hey, if you were someone who ran in a company that provides internet service, you might decide it is not profitable to be in certain places. And that's probably why they're not there. Some Democrats at various levels of government have proposed, you know, more government involvement to bring connectivity in different places. What's the model that works there? Is it government investment of various kinds? Is it different policy? How do you do that, Senator Rath?
Well, I think one of the things you have to look at is one-time federal assistance, which we have a significant, we have billions and billions of dollars right now. Let's invest that in our broadband connectivity because this is, I believe, mission critical in New York State. We should not be using one-time federal assistance on recurring expenses. That's fiscally irresponsible. But broadband connectivity, sure, it's something that we're all talking about, but we need to take action, and we need to take action quickly because New York is becoming less and less competitive and less safe without our broadband connectivity.
All right, now let's talk to Senator Gallivan first about sort of the broad strokes here, and then we'll get more specific. What were the broad headlines that you had coming out of this budget address, Senator Gallivan?
Well, clearly, like my colleague, spending. It's just mind-boggling to see the amount of spending, $216 billion as proposed, which is up from $212 billion from last year, which was up from $190-some billion the year before. For the first time, I'm in my 12th year in the Senate, and for the first time, we are dealing with a surplus. Every year, we've gone into budget time with a deficit, and I venture to say that has taken place for at least the last 20 to 30 years. And so, you know, people talk about the unique opportunities. We've heard the governor talk about how we're in extraordinary times and it's a unique opportunity. And I think we have a unique opportunity right now to lower our tax burden. You heard Senator Rath talk about New York State having the highest tax burden in the nation. And that is what leads to people leaving. That's what leads to businesses leaving. We have the highest cost of doing business in the country. So I really think it becomes a matter of philosophy. And while do we spend all that extra money, or do we save it or return it to the taxpayers? I come from the point of view that we should not be spending all of it. We should be returning as much as possible to the taxpayers. And I think that's really the difference in philosophy that you see with what the governor is proposing. There are a number of good things, and there's a number of areas that need needed to be addressing. You heard Senator Rath talk about some of them, certainly the whole health area of the budget, the education area of the budget, broadband, among other things, public safety, not so much in spending, but in policy. But we continue to put impediments in the way of business in the form of taxes and regulations. And we have the opportunity now to do something about that and reverse that high tax policy that has had and the reputation that we've had for so long. And I think that part is a little bit, well, is clearly lacking in this budget, despite the acceleration of the middle class tax cuts, which I support, despite helping people with property taxes, which I support that part of it. We can go much further along in helping our citizens and our businesses.
All right, so let's get specific then, because this is where our guests, Senators Gallivan and Rath, largely agree that New York State spending is too high, taxes are too high, and there are too many onerous regulations. So let's get specific here. What's one, whether it's a focus of spending, a part of the budget that you look at and say, we can cut this thing out, you know, like a bad organ. Where do you start there, Senator Gallivan?
Well, you're talking about a document that is thousands of pages.
Sure, but there's got to be some specifics, right?
Yeah, well, there are some. But for instance, we have in the budget, this is a small thing, but it's an example of nickel and diming New Yorkers, increased penalties for toll violations. There's a brownfield cleanup program that's a very good program that takes contaminated lands that we have, and businesses have the opportunity to do things in an environmentally responsible way through an incentive program where you get brownfield tax credits and turn that land into something usable and create jobs with it. And it's a very good program, very beneficial throughout the state. The governor has proposed to continue that, which I'm pleased to see that, but with an application fee of $50,000. And we have things like that sprinkled in the budget that there's no reason. Well, I don't believe that we have to do things like that to create, again, these impediments and nickel and diming people and grabbing money on the larger issues. Healthcare. We spend, I think this year's number is going to be over $80 billion with Medicaid. I think there's an incredible amount of waste, fraud, abuse that takes place. We can do a much better job of monitoring without even cutting benefits. But I think that that whole area of Medicaid, with that significant portion of spending in the budget, we should have ongoing oversight of that to make sure that the expenditures are properly and we're not wasting money with that. The same with education. And when we look at some of the things that educators have to do, some of the things that healthcare providers have to do, some of the things that the banking industry have to do and farmers have to do, we see a duplication of regulations at the federal and the state level, excessive regulations where the benefit of the regulation doesn't necessarily justify the cost of it. And we spend an incredible amount of money on administrative costs. And so there's no one single thing. I think it's more of a mentality and a philosophy of how can we ensure that we're fiscally responsible as opposed to we have all this money and let's spend it.
When you talk about Medicaid, waste, fraud, abuse, that's an area where your colleagues who are Democrats will disagree in that they have largely defended the need and the value, not only for Medicaid, but expanded health care coming from the government sector here. So what is an example? When you look at Medicaid, what's an example of the way that it is either abused or defrauded that is, I think, would be clear to people? Either, I guess what I'm trying to understand, is it a case of where you feel like the umbrella of what's offered under Medicaid is just too wide or it's too easily defrauded? I mean, how does it work?
Well, before we get into the benefit, I think it is too easily defrauded. And I think that's the problem. I do not think that there's sufficient oversight of the particular program. The area of transportation is an area that incurs incredible costs that the state does not do a good job of monitoring, and so you've got people abusing abusing getting paid to go to the doctor's office, getting funds to go to an emergency room, and things of that nature that we could have better oversight of. Certainly, I don't think that there's anybody, any of my colleagues in the majority or the minority, that does not think that we should be helping people that are in need. But we should be making sure that the dollars are spent just like they are in our own families, that we're accounting for every single dollar and not just throwing money out there saying that we have this need, let's go spend it and not keep track of it. For instance, the state took over the administration of it several years ago, and counties now have no ability or no incentive to ensure that dollars are spent properly. So if at the county level, they're just essentially just administering things, the money is passing through. A number of years ago, the counties were incentivized to ensure that fraud, waste, abuse was not going on, and they were rewarded for their efficiency. Now there is no responsibility on the county to do anything other than just pass the money through and provide the service without making sure that people are doing everything the right way. So I think the program can be administered in a much better way, and we can save a tremendous amount of dollars by doing so.
Okay, and that's on the administration and the oversight, but what about the umbrella of benefits to begin with? Is it too broad in this state?
Well, that's a decision that each state gets to make. I think the number might be there's 17 or 19 different types of benefits that states can provide. And New York is one of the states that provides every single benefit to people. And that certainly is a discussion that should be had at the state level, whether we should be providing all of the benefits or not. An example, of course, is dental care and vision care and things of that nature. I think there's like 12 or 13 mandatory benefits that must be provided, that every state has to provide. The state then does have leeway as to whether or not they want to provide additional benefits or not. And the state has decided to provide all of the benefits. And if that's the case right now, especially when you look at the party that is in control has no interest in talking about anything but the providing of all of those benefits. Our focus should be on something we can do something about, and that's the administration of the program at this point in time.
Okay. Senator Rath, do you agree that there are people who are finding ways to get paid by New York State for Medicaid when they would not be meriting that?
Yes, I think there is a decent amount of fraud and abuse that is in the Medicaid system in New York State. And my statistic is dated because I haven't looked into this in several years, but it was somewhere about 10%. And if it's 10% of an $80 billion program, well, that's $8 billion, and that's a heck of a lot of money. So I think we do need to better and more properly police those who are enrolling in Medicaid because there is fraud and abuse. And to the point that was made earlier, I agree. There are federal standards with regards to Medicaid services, and then there is the above and beyond services, if you will. And New York State provides each and every above and beyond service, and that adds to the cost. And if you think of it, $80 billion in a $216 billion budget, that's a huge portion of the overall spending plan. So we should root out fraud and abuse. We should pay very close attention to people who are sort of gaming the system with regards to enrolling in Medicaid, and then manage the costs on the front end of the services that we're providing. Because in Ohio and Pennsylvania and many, many other states, they don't have all those additional services. Some of them cosmetic, some of them elective, not necessary healthcare services per se. But I also want to go back to the question that you had asked earlier about one single idea perhaps for what we could do to lessen the tax burden in New York State. And I think what we should do is we should look at suspending the energy taxes in New York State. And if we do that, we are going to lower what has been an incredibly difficult cost for the residents of New York State to pay for over this past year. Gasoline prices at the pump are up 43% year over year. Home heating costs are up 48% year over year. And since we're sitting on a $5 billion surplus, which is a tremendous amount of money, let's lessen the what has been one of the largest tax increases, if you will, the energy taxes or the energy costs that folks have had to pay for over this past year. And times are tight, and folks don't have a tremendous amount of excess money these days. Sometimes they're making the difficult decisions of, are they going to fuel up their car and heat their home, or are they going to be putting food on the table for themselves and for their children? So if we have this surplus, let's take this money and let's push it back into the pockets of the taxpayers, where they rightfully know what to do with their money and not New York State.
So if we did that, Senator, what kind of tax, either break, credit, rebate, are we talking about? How big and for how many people?
Well, if you look at the one set of data that I do know pretty specifically, has to do with automobile gasoline taxes. They're about 50 cents. So, I mean, if you were to suspend that, you're looking at a massive decrease at the pump. And every single one of us, when you fuel up your car, it's now, what, $10 or $15 more expensive. So if you were to suspend the gas tax itself, and there certainly are other taxes on natural gas and electricity and all the rest that can be suspended to ease that burden, but at the pump, it would save you about 50 cents in our region.
That is a benefit for people who own vehicles, though, right? I mean, that does exclude some certain amount of New Yorkers who don't own a vehicle.
Well, that's true, but there are, like I had indicated, there's taxes on natural gas and home heating oil and electricity. There are many ways in which you could provide this tax break back to the residents, and it would be a tangible benefit and a substantial amount of money. And like I said earlier, we're sitting on a pretty significant surplus at $5 billion. Well, that's the money that should, I believe, go back into the pockets of the taxpayers. So suspending the energy tax, I think, is a very real, a very impactful, and an appropriate break for the residents of our state.
All right, let's close the loop on healthcare, and then we're going to talk about child care and education funding, which are always fights in the legislature, debates, I suppose I should say. But when it comes to healthcare in this state, our guests who are on this program today are Republicans. They are not going to support the New York Health Act. They're not going to support single payer or a government-run system in this state. Some senators on the Democratic side have said that they would. I don't know that there's momentum for that. It doesn't seem to be the case this year. But that's been proposed the better part of two decades now in New York State. So we can set that aside. Our guests, Senators Rath and Gallivan, are not interested in that. They're concerned about abuse in the system, the system that's paying out benefits to people who don't need or deserve them, and that costing the taxpayers a lot of money. Just generally speaking, Senator Rath, are you comfortable that your constituents can get good health care if they need it?
I am comfortable that my constituents can get the necessary and appropriate health care if they need it. And I remember reading somewhere between maybe 5% and 10% of New Yorkers are uninsured, and that we have to find solutions for those individuals who are uninsured. But in general, and for the most part, for the significant most part, I believe that the residents of my district, and I think the residents of the state of New York, are getting sufficient health care services. And you had referenced the New York Health Act, and I want to share this with the listeners, and this is a very, very important point for everyone to understand. The New York Health Act, which would be a single-payer health care, is estimated to cost $250 billion. Right there, that doubles New York State's budget. Right now, it's $216 billion, our budget. This would be $250 billion. There's absolutely no way we can pay for this. We can't pay for, you know, our budget in many ways going forward after this federal stimulus money dries up. So how are we going to be able to afford a single-payer health care? And I don't think it's timely. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's appropriate, because for the most part, people are happy with the health care services and the health insurance that they have today.
Yeah, I mean, I take the point that there's only 5 to 10% are not technically insured. But in this country, and this has been rising rapidly, starting with the passage of, called Obamacare, called the Affordable Care Act, what we have seen is a marked increase in the amount of Americans who are on high deductible plans. High deductible this year could be $7,000, could be $6,000, could be $5,800. If you're on a high deductible plan, you might not even go to the doctor if you need what you think is a minor procedure, or if you literally have something lodged in your throat and you want to try to pass it. Like, I don't know, the host of this program did one time watching a Cleveland Cavaliers game. There's all kinds of reasons that people on high deductible plans don't necessarily feel like they have anything but catastrophic coverage. And or maybe you disagree with that, Senator Rath. What do you think?
Well, I think in general, as we've talked about a few times so far today, there is resources that we can provide back to the residents of the New York State with regards to our massive surplus that we're sitting on. And perhaps some of that money can be then utilized for paying off those high deductible plans that you're referring to. But with regards to that, if there is something that is it's overly expensive and overly burdensome, we should look at that. And I'm fortunate to sit on the Health Committee, and in fact, Senator Galvin is a ranker on the Health Committee. So this is something that we can look at, and it's the type of issue that's in front of us as we do the work as state senators. So if there's something that needs to be modified or reformed or improved, by all means, let's look into it.
Okay, and let me ask Senator Galvin briefly, and then we'll grab one phone call, and then we're going to move to other issues with our guests. But I know over the years some Democrats have not liked necessarily hearing a criticism of the Affordable Care Act, and I understand the Affordable Care Act, first and foremost, was designed to get people covered, more Americans covered, when there were millions and millions not covered at all who could face a life-changing catastrophic injury or illness and tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars of bills. I mean, I'm aware of that. I mean, you get a cancer diagnosis and it could be $200,000 in a year. If you're not covered, good luck. So I get that. But it has accelerated these high deductible plans, and a lot of Americans will tell you that they just don't go to the doctor very much unless they feel like they're in real danger or a bone is broken. And I don't know that that is sustainable, or maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe you feel that the current system is that people are pretty happy with it, Senator Galvin.
I think there's many people that are happy and satisfied with what they have, and there's others that have concerns, especially about the cost. But I can tell you that my firm belief is that the New York Health Act is not the answer. It would be incredibly costly, and it's something that has never been tried anywhere in the world. What is being proposed is that New York State would provide health insurance for everything, for everybody, at no cost, and then New York State would administer the program. Often, the people that are supportive of this compare the New York Health Act to what's proposed or what is offered in Canada. And I have talked to many people in Canada that are not happy at all with their insurance, including providers and patients. In Canada, their government health insurance does not cover long-term care, for instance. It doesn't cover prescription care. It doesn't cover many elective surgeries. For things that are non-life-threatening, they have incredibly long waits. Because we are so close to the border in Western New York, COVID's thrown a little bit of a wrinkle into it. You see thousands of Canadians getting health care in New York and paying for themselves. You talk with doctors. They would have concerns about reimbursements. You talk to hospitals, they'd have concerns about reimbursements. And I think we get to the point where you have government controlling healthcare, rationing healthcare, making decisions about, okay, should we, the elderly, the vulnerable, should we be providing them with a certain type of surgery when they're 78 or 84 years old? I think it can lead to some very, very scary things. Certainly isn't the way to go. On the other hand, we do need to continue to we need to pay attention to the rising cost of healthcare and try to do something about it. I think part of the things that we can do about it, we have excessive regulation that leads to cost duplication, the duplication of the various oversight entities requiring providers, whether the health care providers, the health insurance providers, spending excessively on their administrative costs just for compliance. So we don't have the exact answer. We clearly have to pay attention to the high cost of insurance. and do something about it. I think part of it is taking a look, like Senator Rath had mentioned, at the available monies that are here right now to be able to do something to provide it back to people, to provide people with greater means to provide for health care. But it's out there. It's a very real issue, something that we didn't have to deal with 20 or 30 years ago. But the New York Health Act is not the way to go. When it comes to the provision of health care right now, we know that we have a health care workforce crisis. I'm glad the governor is dealing with some of it in the budget as we move forward. But we have to look at the fact that some of this is self-imposed. I think it's been wonderful that for a half hour now, we haven't talked at all about COVID-19, because that's all we've talked about over the past 2 years. But the vaccination requirement on the healthcare workers, as opposed to the test out option, has helped to add to that healthcare workforce crisis that is impacting everyday New Yorkers that are in need of healthcare.
We certainly could talk about COVID. I will just say.
No, I'm glad
you're
not. But it's just surprising. For the last half hour, we were talking about normal legislative matters.
Well, welcome. I'm with you. I don't mean to ignore it, but I've said on this program, I'm an optimist, and the numbers are going down every day in this community. That doesn't mean they're not still high, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about healthcare facilities. But I think, as long as something strange doesn't happen, we're headed for a much better spring and summer, and I hope people are ready for that, because I think that's where we're going.
I think so, too.
Let me read an email from Diane. Diane identifies herself as a nice old lady in Rochester. She says, I'm wondering how the senators can help. I am on a high deductible plan with a $6,800 deductible. I am going through cancer treatment now. Can't afford my bills. I haven't met the deductible yet. I don't qualify for what she calls charity coverage. What can these senators do to help me? Senator Gallivan, what would you say to Diane?
I think it's very difficult to answer a question like that without getting more information, and we would be happy to reach out to her to talk about her individual situation to see if we can point her in the right direction, which would even include, it doesn't really matter if she doesn't live in our district or not, we'd be happy to try to help. But I think it'd be very difficult to answer a specific situation like that without knowing many more things.
Okay. Senator Rath, anything you want to add there?
No, I think that Senator Gallivan has really hit the nail on the head with regards to we need to know the specifics. And each and every one of us as senators or members of the assembly, we are here to work for our constituents, either in our districts or those in and around our districts. So if Diane were to contact my office or Senator Galvin's office, we could go to work and find out, what her challenges are and what we can do to help, because that's what we're doing is we're providing constituent services each and every day.
Charles emailed the program last week and today, just weighing in, saying that he thinks, as a conservative, that this state spends too much money without very much return on health care, that even our hospitals are not up to the standard that they should be, and that we're talking about, the governor's talking about spending more money on hospitals. Charles is concerned about, the essentially hospital lobbying and other interest groups that seem to have priority right now. Do you feel, Senator Rath, do you agree with Charles that we are not getting a good bang for our buck on healthcare spending?
I would agree in part. I think that it's one of the really critical responsibilities that we have in the state government is to provide services, healthcare services, and all services for the health and the wellness and the well-being of the residents of the state of New York. But with that investment that we're making, the dramatic investment that we're making in healthcare, there needs to be outcomes, and there needs to be success, and there needs to be trust and faith and hope restored in a system right now that in many ways is very expensive and not being the best run. So to me, using business principles, I've been in private sector business for 30 years, you make an investment expecting outcomes and expecting success and expecting metrics and data to be utilized. And the state has actually fallen very short in providing metrics and data and benchmarks for how well it's doing in healthcare services. I've been calling for that for many, many months now, for the state to level with the residents of New York State with regards to how our healthcare services are managed, operated, funded, and the outcomes that are provided. So I'll continue to fight for that.
On the subject of health care, let me start with Senator Gallivan. I'll ask both of you about this. Governor Hochul proposed for child care, $1 billion for child care funding. Some Democrats in the legislature have put together a plan for $5 billion in a state expenditure for child care, expanded services and support for parents and families, and partially at least covered in one proposal from Senator Ramos, among others, with a tax on some of the biggest corporate earners in this state, PepsiCo, among a list of about a dozen or two dozen more. So $5 billion in the Democratic proposal in the legislature, $1 billion proposed by Governor Hochul. Where are you on this, Senator Gallivan?
I think child care is certainly something that we need to pay attention to. It's needed in this state. It's critical when we're looking at the workforce shortages that we have in not just healthcare, but in every industry. First and foremost, though, I would not be supportive of any additional tax, whether it's on corporations, high earners, low earners, or anybody. We tax enough. We have the highest burden in the country. We continue to put impediments in the way of businesses that don't come to the state because of our high tax environment that we have here. I would favor, though, certainly the helping people, and I think the child care tax credits is one of the ways to go. And you can be doing the same things with corporations and employers. So if the employers are providing some of that assistance, you incentivize them by providing the employer with a child tax credit. So I do think that there's some good ideas out there, but putting additional burdens and taxes on our businesses is not the way to go.
Okay. And what is the expenditure that you think, what would be a fair and smart expenditure for New York State to undertake when it comes to child care?
Somewhere between that $1 billion and $5 billion is what you're asking?
Well, no. I'm saying it might be another number entirely. I'm just noting what the Democrats are sort of debating. But on the Republican side, I'm curious to know, you know, where you stand in terms of what does justify state investment here.
That's a very interesting question. Well, first, I don't have a number in mind. But to the extent that the state can provide assistance and should provide assistance in helping with the workforce crisis that we have, I do believe that that is something that we need to look at. But I think that the way to do it is to provide incentives in the form of tax credits for both individuals and families as well as businesses.
Senator Rath, on child care, what makes sense to you?
Well, I think we have to look at this issue and we need to prioritize it because child care has been one of the largest challenges that families have faced throughout the pandemic. And unfortunately, families have had to make decisions sometimes as to whether they were going to go back to work or if they were going to pay for child care. And first and foremost, I want to highlight a bill that I sponsored. It's Senate Bill 5408. Which I sponsored last year, which actually increases the child and dependent care tax credit significantly, because I think that's a very important pathway for us to go down to offer additional resources for people who are struggling with paying for child care. And my wife and I have three children, and you know, child care is a huge challenge, particularly for working families where both parents work. So New York State needs to prioritize this. I think we can really help accomplish it by expanding significantly the child and dependent care tax credit. And also with regards to what you were talking about with regards to the governor's proposal of a $1 billion increase versus the state legislature's suggestion or idea of $5 billion, I'd have to look at the numbers and pay close attention to what the proposals are and what reasonable spending numbers are to increase that. But we do need to be very, very careful that we are not taxing our corporations and our big businesses in New York State, because they're the ones who are choosing to leave. And they're the ones that are creating jobs, providing livelihoods, you know, sort of recycling and regenerating money throughout our New York State economy. And if we keep pushing these big corporations away, we're going to be losing one of our largest revenue generators. So a tax increase significantly on big businesses, I would be strongly against.
Let me grab a phone call from Nancy in Rochester. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. Thank you for this wonderful conversation. I'm listening, trying to listen very carefully. I spend too much listening to one side of the issue, so it's great to hear others. But it, unfortunately, it just like it confirms everything that I have ever said or anybody says about Republicans. It's all about business. It's all about the, you know, metrics. It's all about how much money comes in. I mean, when I was a small child, my mother taught me the Republicans are for the rich and Democrats are for the poor. And it's been true. I keep trying to find out that that's not true. The one guy talking about, you know, very murky, like, everybody has to examine it. Why the hell are they coming on your show without having information? Give me specifics. Give me specifics. The one guy who said about people who, I don't want to pay for people to get to go to the emergency room. The idea about dental and eyeglasses, let me tell you, as an elderly person, to not have any money for my dental, my teeth look like hell. So it's just... I don't want to just rate. And then the platitudes about hope, faith, and charity. I mean, justice, it's so ridiculous. There are no specifics. But the bottom line is they're not interested in helping the poor. They're not interested, period. You know, they're just not interested. And I'm sorry, they can keep on talking, but the last guy who said, we can't do anything about the big corporations. Oh, the price of cereal that everybody's talking about, like, oh my God, cereal's so expensive. Everything's so expensive. It's Biden. It's the Democrats. Well, the fact is, have you checked out what General Mills gives to their corporations, their CEOs? All right, thank you very much. I'm going to hang up.
All right, Nancy. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate the phone call. I'll start with Senator Rath. She's concerned that there's not concern for people who are struggling in poverty. Go ahead.
Well, I respect Nancy's opinion, and I appreciate her calling in and letting us know, what she thinks about, what's happening in New York State. And just to highlight this, and it's very important. The New York State spending plan is $216 billion, and that crosses every single swath and every single community and every single segment, if you will, of New York State. And so within that spending plan, there is really something for everyone, per se. And so if it's for our rural and our agricultural communities, there's tremendous prioritization, there's investment, there is programs, if you will, throughout New York State to help them, certainly with our urban and our suburban communities, with health care, with public safety, with law enforcement, economic development, job creation. This is a massive undertaking, this budget. And when we look at it, we look at it very closely as the budget is presented to us. And we just got it last week. And to Senator Galvin's point from earlier on, this is thousands of pages thick. But we look at it, we work on it, we analyze it, and then we make what we believe are the votes that are necessary and appropriate for our constituents. But we're always providing services to the residents of New York State and all the communities in which we reside. That's what government does. And for the most part, we do those services successfully. So I would respectfully disagree that we're only focused on, one segment and one business segment in New York State. That's not the case, because we're all working very hard to fulfill the services for all the residents that we represent.
Senator Gallivan?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the fact that Nancy is listening and the other listeners that are out there. I don't necessarily agree, though, how she characterized some of the things that we talked about. First and foremost, the mantra in my office is that government is about service. And that's something that our office and our staff always puts first. And we never forget that. The service that we're providing, though, to help the people with their various needs, whether it's Medicaid services, whether it's other forms of social services, whether it's law enforcement services, comes from taxpayers. It is not the state's money. It is everybody's money. And we've got the obligation to be responsible with that money and not spend it frivolously. When we were talking a little bit earlier about Medicaid, we were talking about the types of services. And I don't think either of us, there was any discussion about cutting the services. Rather, the discussion was more along the lines about ensuring that the money is spent properly, that there is not waste, that there is not fraud, that there was not abuse. We are at the point now, we're at the very, very beginning part of the budget, where the governor puts it out. We pore over it. It takes a little bit of time to do that, to go through every page and every line. and then our response over the next 6 to 8 weeks by April 1st is to be very specific in the response in trying to craft a budget that contains several hundred billion dollars worth of specifics to help New Yorkers. Government has nothing to do with, in my belief, should not have to do with Democrats and Republicans. It's about helping people and providing the services to people, but being responsible with people's money in doing so.
Well, I appreciate the time from both of our guests this hour, and it goes fast when you're talking about state business and issues.
It does.
But that's why we try to do it at length. And I want to remind our listeners that we reach out to all elected leaders that serve in our area, no matter the party, et cetera. We had Leader Ort, who is also going to join us, but canceled that appearance at around 9:40 this morning. But that door is open for Leader Ort to come on this program. We're hoping to have Senator Pam Helming. Some of her constituents have reached out to us and asked, how come Senator Helming hasn't been joining us? And I promise you it's not for lack of trying, but sometimes it's tough to line up schedules, and we respect that. I'm sure no ill intent. Sometimes it's just hard to do that. But the point is everyone is busy, and we greatly appreciate the time. So from District 59, Senator Patrick Gallivan joining us. Senator Gallivan, I do appreciate it. I hope you'll keep coming back here, and let's continue to talk about state business here. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks, Evan.
Senator Edward Rath III from District 61. Senator, thanks for making time once again, sir.
Thanks, Evan. Great talking with you.
Great talking to you as well. And listeners, hope you appreciate that. We do that as much as we possibly can with elected leaders here, and we will continue to do so. We've got more connections coming up here in just a moment.